Should we take a tackle? And if so, who? What are you going to tell the room?
Well, I'm sprinting the pick to the podium, guys. I think Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, is the best overall tackle prospect in this draft, and he is certainly worthy of being the number 7 overall pick. He is the most commonly mocked player to the Titans, and for a good reason. They've got a hole at left and right tackle. You guys are probably not aware of this because it just happened, but they just traded for a tackle a second ago, one that I'm not familiar with. Leroy Watson from the Cleveland Browns is going to the Titans for a 7th-round draft pick. Interesting there because there is a connection to Bill Callahan on staff. Of course, offensive line coach Bill Callahan coached him last year in Cleveland. So to me, it sounds like a direct request from Callahan, but Watson now becomes the 4th tackle on the Titans roster. The other 3 are sophomore UDFA John Ajoku, sophomore 6th-round pick Jalen Duncan, and Nicholas Petit-Friere, who has not played well and has had a suspension and all kinds of issues. So this is not a good tackle room right now in Tennessee. They need new starters on both sides, in my opinion. A little surprised one didn't arrive through free agency. I mean, there's still a couple of veteran guys out there, but not looking like they're going to address that position through free agency. So if I'm in that room and no tackle's been taken, Joe Alt, best tackle in the class, is a no-brainer at 7 overall.
People tend to cringe. They get the heebie-jeebies when they think about the last 2 years at left tackle. I said it earlier in the show. Justin and I have been covering this team all 25 years they've been here in Nashville. And it's the worst 2 years they've ever had at left tackle. Of the 25, if you're ranking the years, last year and the year before that were the worst 2 years since they've been in Nashville. That's how bad it's been. It's clear they have to address this. I don't know what's going to happen with the Giants and the Chargers. Those seem to be
wild card.
Yeah, those are the wild card teams directly in front of them. But I just wanted to know from you. You're our expert. You're saying, and I know most everybody has Joe Alt, but you say 100% he is the guy. If he's there, you have to take him. Is that what you're saying?
That's how I feel. And I understand if a trade back situation arises, they may be tempted. Look, they don't have a lot of draft capital. They just forfeited another pick minutes ago, albeit a 7th rounder, but they already didn't have a lot of picks before that. Now they've got one less. They don't have a 3rd rounder following the Will Levis trade up last year. They don't have a 3rd rounder next year with the Legarius Sneed trade. There's a lot of holes on this roster. Look, at some point, they need premium players at premium positions. And that's going to have to arrive, ascending players, you know, that's going to have to arrive through the draft, through your drafting. They don't have a lot of picks. This is a deep class of tackles. I can understand the temptation to trade down. I wouldn't be stunned if they trade down. But I do think Joe Alt is the best tackle in the class. If he's there at 7, he's plug and play. I mean, you think of a left side of him and Peter Skoronski, they might be, using last year's draft class as well, they might be the 2 most technically advanced prospects in the last 2 drafts that's on the offensive line. You talk about pairing them together on the left side of your line, and you're doing that with Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach. And you said what you said about left tackle. You're right. You look at the last 25 years, they've been fortunate that it hasn't been a bigger hole. I mean, remember when they drafted Taylor Lewan and everyone thought they didn't love it at the time because they had Michael Roos on the roster still? And it ended up being a genius decision because Luan just filled Michael Roos' shoes essentially right away. Like, this franchise went from Michael Roos to Taylor Lewan. They were extremely fortunate, right? Like, it's one of the 3 most important positions in football.
Justin,
they were extremely fortunate that that happened.
Justin, until the nightmare of the last 2 years, this market has only known Brad Hopkins, Michael Roos,
right,
and Taylor Lewan.
Yes. That's what I mean.
And the other 2, the last 2 years, I'm not even going to mention their names because everyone's already deleted them from their memory banks. They don't exist.
They certainly don't belong in that company with those 3.
No.
Right? We certainly know that. So, as I said, they've been so fortunate to have those 3 players in their short history, all since moving to Tennessee, to Nashville. So, you know what? It was bound to happen eventually. All teams go through it. They've certainly been run through the ringer at that position over these last 2 years. The worst left tackle play in the NFL 2 years in a row, bar none, in my opinion. I think there have been worst offensive lines, but left tackle specifically, the worst any team has had, especially when you combine year to year. So it's a position that, again, I'm a little surprised they didn't grab a tackle in free agency, but they didn't. And what that means is it's really upped the urgency, right, to grab one in the draft that can play right away. And Joe Wolf is that kind of player.
Okay, we're back in the draft room. Rand Carthon has just pounded the desk, and he just blurted out something we can't repeat on the radio. The Giants took Joe Alt. Son of a gun! He's gone. He's off the board. So what we want to know on this show, and our listeners want to know, what is the gap between Alt and Fashanu? Is it still worthy at 7, or do you pivot from the position we've made abundantly clear on the show that they need to address big time? But is that gap too big and you have to pivot because it's not worth a 7th pick? Or do you feel comfortable taking him at 7?
I do think you'd be reaching a little bit if you took him at 7. And look, if you pay attention to the national mock draft scene, and that's certainly not the end-all, be-all, but a lot of those are done with insider information. If you pay attention to the guys that actually talk to GMs before they complete mock draft, guys like Daniel Jeremiah, you know, of that caliber, you're seeing him slide to like the mid-teens. I think I saw him at 20 overall about a week ago. So I do think he'd be reaching a little at number 7. If he's not on the board being Joe Alt, I think you're trying like heck to trade down, because all of a sudden now you've got a gap of tackles that, you know, you could take any of them at 12, 13, 14 overall, which I think is the range you would trade down into. You're looking at the possibility where he, you know, Fashanu may still be on the board at that point. I'm looking at the guys from Georgia and Oklahoma, Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton. By the way, I broke news a few days ago that they had Guyton in there in Nashville for a 30 visit, a pre-draft visit. I look at those two. I look at J.C. Latham, the tackle from Alabama, who they also had on a pre-draft visit in Nashville. I look at the kid from Washington, Troy Fatanu. Like, there is just a Talis Fuaga, the right tackle from Oregon State. All of a sudden, there are a slew of tackles that you're going to be able to take in the, you know, in that mid-range. If Alt's not there and you decide you want to trade down, there's a bunch of them. Now, I'm sure they don't like all of them. That's not the way this works, but I'm sure they like a couple of them, right? So I think at that point, I think you're trying to trade down, pick up some of that draft capital that you don't have, and still feel good about your chances of coming away with a tackle that can play right away.
Okay, the first 4 picks are quarterbacks. Then the Chargers get up there and they say, Joe Alt. Then the Giants say, fine, we're going to take Fashanu. What do you do at 7 if you're the Titans then? Rand Carthon looks at you and says, Justin, what should we do here?
I'm turning in the card faster than anyone has ever turned it in with Marvin Harrison Jr., right?
Okay.
The wide receiver from Ohio State. He's the best wide receiver prospect I've ever scouted.
Oh,
I mean, he's
really
the best overall ever. He is the best overall player in the draft. Like, number one, if position didn't matter, he's the best. I mean, I'd be stunned if he's there at number 7, but we're playing out your scenario here. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, you worry about the tackle, but I think you're talking about, again, a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver, and I hate using that term, but like, you remember scouting Julio Jones when he came out? Like, that's mm-hmm. how good he is. So, and you think, remember the Cleveland Browns, they traded out of that pick. They got cute. You remember what they ended up for trading out of that pick? For I think they ended up with like Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert and a bunch of junk that they never actually, you know, got to use at a high level. So don't get cute. Falcons did a great job that year trading out. They came up for like 20 overall, I think they did, for Julio Jones. I mean, he's that type of prospect. So if he's just there at number 7, I'm a little worried about who's going to protect the quarterback next year. But I'm getting the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of other teams before I get back into the Titans. The Arizona Cardinals are a bit of a wild card at number 4. As Darren just said, you know, maybe the first 4 teams take all quarterbacks. The Cardinals wouldn't take a quarterback, would they? Or the Cardinals up for trading back?
I think they're a candidate to trade back. The only reason I say that is because if you know general manager Monty Ossenfort,
mm-hmm.
and if we know him a little bit here in Tennessee, right?
Yes,
sir. He was a right-hand man for a couple of years to John Robinson. He loves the trade back. He loves it, right? He did it last year a couple times. He moved up and down the board in his first year as GM, and he's been very open that he's potentially willing to do it again. This is what I can't grasp with them. They've got 7 picks in the opening 104. Seven. Okay? They've got 11 picks total. They've already got a ton of capital to improve this roster. If they want to trade back, they are. He's telling you that's the mantra he 100% believes in, okay? I want as many bites of the apple as I can get. And even though I've got 7 picks in the 104, I want even more. If I was them, this would be a no-brainer. And this is not a question disrespecting you guys at all. Do you know who their number one receiver is right now? Because nobody knows. It is Michael Wilson.
Sure.
Number one receiver in Arizona. Sophomore to be that they took in like the fourth round last year. They have no receivers. Why they would trade out of that Marvin Harrison Jr. pick is something I have a hard time grasping. Because we all think quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, and Harrison's going to be there for them at 4. Now, look, the only way they do that, they trade down, they think they can still get him, doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that if you're trading out of that pick, someone's going to take him before you get a chance to. Or maybe they like one of the other receivers better. Maybe they say, we're going down to 8, 9, 10, and we're going to get Malik Nabers or Rome Odunze. We've got a very similar grade on one of them, or we like one of them even better. I don't think it's impossible, but, you know, so maybe that's what they're thinking. But to me, looking at the depth chart at receiver, looking at the draft capital they already have, they should stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr.
All right, so let me go here. Let me go further up in the draft then, because there are a couple of teams here. If Marvin Harrison is everything that you're saying that he is, and I have zero reason to doubt you, good sir, none. But if Marvin Harrison is the best player in the draft, regardless of position, if you're the Commanders or the Patriots, are you really going to pass on Marvin Harrison to draft J.J. McCarthy or Drake May? I mean, is that what you're really doing? If you think Marvin Harrison is a first ballot Hall of Famer breathing, are you really going to pass on him to go with a quarterback who we know the bust rate on quarterbacks is fairly high in the first round?
I think it depends on the quarterback and it depends on the situation. Now, I think the Washington Commanders are locked into a quarterback at number 2. So even though I am high on Marvin Harrison Jr., I look at what you got to analyze the situation, right? I look at what they have. They don't have a quarterback and they've got a new regime, right? A new GM, a new head coach, first year in their roles.
Yeah.
And they've got two receivers they really like, right? And Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. One of them was just a first round pick very recently, right? I think Dotson was 2 years ago, same year as the Treylon Burks year. So you like what you have at receiver. You know you're on the right. You just got the jobs. You got to decide the direction you're going to take this franchise in, right?
Yeah.
And this is a really good draft with quarterbacks. It is. So if I'm Washington at number 2, I understand why. And I'm not saying why they would. I'm going to say why they will pass on Marvin Harrison Jr. and take either Jaden Daniels or Drake May, because that's what they're going to do at number 2. And from what I've heard, the writing's on the wall, I'm very confident that that's going to be Jaden Daniels for them at number 2.
Wow. Wow. I'm just, you know, and you understand what I'm saying. It's just with everything overriding here, if three quarterbacks go in the first round, one of these guys, probably two of these guys, are not going to work. I mean, history just shows us that. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, two or three of these guys aren't going to pan out.
All of those teams have already moved on from Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and Mac Jones and Justin Fields. They all went in the same draft not that long ago. All four teams have already moved on. Of course, one of them's going to bust. Maybe two or three of them.
Yeah.
And we're going to get at least four in the first round. Two or three of them might bust. At least one, but it's probably going to be two or three. But look, it's the nature of the beast. A scout once told me, when you don't have a quarterback, right, it keeps you up at night, right? Like when you don't have one, you spend every second of every day trying to figure out how to get one, right? And the reality is there's no exact science to this. You've got to take that risk. This is, on paper, a very good quarterback draft. You also have to factor that next year's class. Well, I know we're a year away, but it doesn't look very good. Teams are not very high on it right now. They're not expecting it to be a good class next year.
Yeah.
And this one looks to be very good. So if you're in that position at 2 or 3 overall, you hope, knock on wood, you're not in that position very often, right? And you need a quarterback and you're in a good class, then you've got to take one.
All right. I've been listening to some of your podcasts, or you guys have been, you know, posting a lot over there. I noticed a few weeks ago, when we were trying to decide the backup quarterback, you mentioned the name AJ McCarron. They end up going with Mason Rudolph. You know, your thoughts on Mason Rudolph versus Malik Willis, or is Malik Willis not long for this team?
I don't know. I don't think Malik Willis is going to be on the 2024 Titans, unless, you know, the third quarterback rule keeps getting a little bit more lenient. So perhaps they decide to carry three. But look, Brian Callahan laid it out during, I think it was the NFL Combine, when they asked him about backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
He laid out his criteria for that position pretty clearly, right? And he said that they wanted a guy with experience that could come in and play and help them win games if the starting quarterback misses a few. And what did they do? They went out and got a guy that fits that definition to a T. They went out and got Mason Rudolph, who I do think, look, people are mistaken when it comes to backup quarterbacks. There's not a lot of good ones. Okay, look around the league. It's usually a barren of talent. There's not a lot of talent at that spot. There just isn't. So Mason Rudolph actually is a good, say what you want about him, he's a good backup quarterback. He came in last year for Pittsburgh and won them a bunch of games down the stretch, helped them get to the playoffs, and they got into the postseason, and a lot of people thought they wouldn't. And they benched their first-round quarterback, right, for him in Kenny Pickett, who now they've now moved on from already. So Mason Rudolph fits the criteria that Brian Callahan looks for in a backup quarterback. This is a no-brainer. This is not a competition. He is the number two quarterback. It won't be Malik Willis. And I'm not sure that Malik Willis will be on the 2024 Titans. I wouldn't say that right now with any sort of confidence.
All right, Justin, last thing real quick. This team did not draft any defensive players last year. And so far in the first two rounds, all we've talked about is offensive players. We've talked about the fact they're going to take a tackle. And in the second round, most people think they're going to get into the wide receiver game. When is this team getting to the defense? When are they going to, I mean, because now we're talking about a fourth rounder, unless they make a trade, fourth round before they draft their next defensive player, potentially.
I think that second round pick is going to be a defensive player.
Okay.
I think the wide receiver stuff, we were big on that until they went out and got Calvin Ridley. I think that changes things. When you look at what they've got on the defense, there's a huge need at edge opposite Harold Landry. You know, with Dinico no longer there, Autry, they got to go and get someone that could play opposite Landry on early downs. They don't have that player on the roster. Callahan himself called Arden Key a rotational rusher about a week ago, which is an assessment I agree with. I look at inside linebacker. There's still a pretty big hole there after losing Azeez El-Shaair.
Yeah.
And I look at safety. I mean, I think it's a little early to go safety. I look at D-tackle. I think they could use a D-tackle. If I was a betting man right now, I look at 38. I think it's likelier to be an edge defender, a D-lineman, or a linebacker than it is another offensive player, another receiver.
Okay, let's just, for the sake of this discussion as we wrap this up, it is a receiver. Give us a couple names you think will be hovering around that 38 spot that could be realistic they would take if they were in their wide receiver market.
I think there are a few. You know, I think Xavier Leggett from South Carolina is one that fits the profile they would like. Reminds me a little of A.J. Brown coming out in the sense that he's extremely tough to tackle after the catch. Well-built, you know, rocked-up guy that breaks a lot of tackles in the open field. Could play the X position, which is probably going to be a need a year from now when DeAndre Hopkins is no longer under contract. I look at Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State. I think there's a chance he's available there at 38. I don't think he's going to go in the first round. He's a dominant, big-bodied X-type. Reminds me a little of T. Higgins, where he's like a vertical, contested catch guy. If they want a smaller body type that just gets open and separates from coverage a little better than those guys do. I look at Ladd McConkey from Georgia. You know, reminds me a little of like a Tyler Lockett, where he's just really good route runner, can play multiple positions, alignment, versatile. I think those three, Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, and Xavier Leggett, are three that they would consider at 38 if that's the route they want to go.
Well, the league recently has shown us that you can get wide receivers in the second round. Really, really good ones. Debo Samuel, A.J. Brown.
D.K. Metcalf.
D.K. Metcalf. I'm trying to, what else? Is he Debo?
Michael Pittman Jr., T. Higgins.
Thank you. Higgins was second round. I think you're right on Pittman. So, I mean, those are all number one guys. I mean, second round guys. So you can do it, and the league has done it here recently. So it'll be interesting.
And a lot of those guys went right around 38.
That's right. That's right. Justin, always appreciate it.
Thank you for doing this. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Pleasure's all mine. Have a great weekend. You guys know where to find me.
All right, Justin Mello. He's fantastic. The Draft Network is where you can find his work. Follow him on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at @JustinM_NFL. We could have done a whole hour easily.
Easily. You
know? Easily. That was hard to squeeze all that in one segment. We're wide open the rest of the hour. If you want to get involved, you can. 615-844-5600. That is the phone line and the text line. More of the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
And now, Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors, LLC. They're professionals who care.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really